God promises to provide for us, as he does in the first article of the Creed, and as we confess that he has created me and takes care of every aspect of my life, why then do we work? If you've ever asked this question or struggled with the sin of sloth, that is not simply laziness, but a spiritual sloth, you need to pick up your copy of the March issue of the Lutheran Witness. You can subscribe at cph.org/witness or visit our website, witness.lcms.org, to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Manifests itself in different ways in different people, but the sin of sloth is common to all of us. Our modern mindset would say, just get up and get busy, start doing something. Whatever you're doing, whatever you're putting off, then just do it. That's even a famous catchphrase, just do it. Well, what does the Bible have to say about sloth, and how do we deal with it as a sin? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to talk about struggling against sloth, Dr. Stephen Piech. He's a lecturer in pastoral theology at Australian Lutheran College and author of a column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Fighting Acedia. Dr. Piech, welcome to Issues Etc.
Yeah, thanks very much, Todd. It's great to be here.
What is acedia and why is it a sin?
Okay, so acedia, or is it sometimes called acedia? I think there are different pronunciations. It doesn't really matter. Is one of the eight deadly thoughts that were identified by the early theologian in the Greek speaking world, the eastern part of the empire, Evagrius of Pontus, as one of those sins that plagues Christians. The seven deadly sins, or the eight deadly thoughts, as they were called in that era, they're not listed anywhere, or they don't come from Scripture. They're sort of adduced from Christians' experience in light of Scripture. And so you won't find acedia in the New Testament, and you won't find the eight deadly thoughts or the seven deadly sins, as they're sometimes called in Scripture. They're descriptions of how we Christians experience these things. And acedia, or sloth, or spiritual inertia, or spiritual resistance, it's sometimes called, is resistance to the work and the good things that God has put in front of us. As a recreated people, as Paul says in Ephesians, God has prepared good works ahead of time for us to do, and for us to enjoy and to benefit from, and through which we can bless our neighbor. And acedia is essentially the resistance of our human flesh, our human sinful nature, to those good things. It's not just about what we do, however. It's also, acedia also has its roots in resistance to hearing, receiving the word and the ministry of God through the Spirit too. And so it kind of blocks things up at the entry point where God wants to come to us, and it blocks things up at the exit point where we're meant to show and pass on the love of God to other people by serving in the vocations God's given us. So it's a sort of a comprehensive thing.
So how does confession and absolution aid us in our struggle against sloth?
Well, it's interesting. As with all sins, particularly but not only sins that have to do with our flesh, but with all sins, we are both victims and perpetrators. So the world, our own sinful flesh, and of course the evil one himself, conspire to take advantage of our human weaknesses. And so we're constantly being nagged and bitten and chewed away at by the devil and his work and our lives, tempted, pulled this way and that, by our own flesh and by the world and by the devil. And so there's an element to this whole thing of acedia where we're not just passive victims, we're actually willing participants, and we allow ourselves to be distracted and we participate in it. And our will is weak, our resolve is weak, our flesh is weak. And so we fall into this sin, and we fall into this sin that we must and need to repent of. And indeed, this is one of the important ways to fight against it is to identify it, name it, confess it, and receive God's forgiveness and renewing grace in our lives to go on doing that very thing, pushing back against it.
What is in the Lord's Prayer to combat sloth?
So, as you know, one of the wonderful things about the Lord's Prayer is that as we pray it, praying it, and Jesus knew this when he gave us his own prayer, just talk to the Father in his name, as we pray it, God teaches us, informs us into desiring the things he wants to give us. So if you look at the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as in heaven, give us today our daily bread, etc. What we see there is God teaching us the right order of priorities, the right ordering of things in our life. We pray for God's order, God's provision, God's help in temptation, God's defending us against the evil one. We pray for the forgiveness of sins. And so the Lord's Prayer educates our desires and helps us to pray for and to want in our own hearts the right ordering of things in our lives. And that means that the good works and the good things that God places in front of us for us to engage with and to do in service of our neighbour are placed in the right order. May God's will be done also in us and by us as we pray and as we engage in that dialogue with God through the Lord's Prayer, which itself pulls us into and teaches us how to desire God's right order and God's good things in our lives, and including the good things that flow through us towards other people. So it's the prayer that educates our desires and prays for God's good and right ordering of our lives, including our desires about food and about the pleasures of the flesh, serving our neighbour, work, all of these things need to find their right order. And the Lord's Prayer prays for that order and teaches us how to desire it.
Why should we understand sloth as an assault from the devil?
Yeah, well, we know that the devil's always having a crack at us. He's like, as Luther says, he's like a mosquito, you know, or an insect that buzzes around and he just never leaves you alone. And he's always, as Luther says, he rides around the boundary fence of our lives looking for where the fence might be down so that he can get over and get into our lives and find a weak spot that he can exploit in us. And so it's no different with our sloth. When we feel tired, when we might be indulging a little bit of self-pity, when our resistance is low, all sorts of things can make us vulnerable, and the devil's always there willing to crash through the fence and wreak havoc in our lives and stop us from doing the things and stop us from being involved in the things that are really important for us so that we can't serve our neighbour properly. It's interesting that the church father Evagrius, once again, who was the first person to teach extensively about this archidia, this sloth, he called it a demonic presence. And another one of his successors, John Cassian, called it the noonday demon because he found that about noon, when your stomach starts to gurgle and when you've had a morning's work, is the first time in the day where he experienced that the devil came along and said, "Oh, you can't be bothered with that. You don't need to do that. That's not important. You've done enough work. You need to have some leisure and not worry about the needs of your neighbour." So it's a deeply spiritual thing. And I think the good thing about talking about sloth as a spiritual thing is that it pushes beyond those boundaries of just thinking of it as a sort of a just a small problem or an everyday psychological issue that we might get distracted or we might indulge in some kind of shilly-shallying around, avoiding our work. But it's actually a spiritual issue which can become a big problem in our lives and can stop us from pursuing the vocations God has for us.
How do we engage sloth with the Word of God?
Well, once again, you have the early church fathers who take their lead from Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is in the desert. Okay, he's hungry, he's tired, and the devil comes and says, well, you can turn these rocks into bread and you can have a good meal, have some pleasure. And Jesus speaks back to the devil and answers him and says, we don't live by bread alone. We live by everything that comes from God's mouth. We live by God's word. And so Evagrius and John Cassian, those early church fathers, they took that and they said, well, you speak back to the devil. When he comes banging at your door or comes wheedling into your ear, you speak back to him using the words of Scripture. And you take the word of God and have confidence in its power to strengthen you and your spirit, and also to send the devil packing. And of course, we know from the Christian tradition and from Luther that one of the great ways to do this is to speak out loud, to speak God's word, to proclaim the word, even if you're by yourself, to say a psalm, to even sing some praise. And as Luther reminds us, when we do that, the devil soon packs his bags and leaves because he wants no part of that. So God's word strengthens us, lifts us up, and once again, like the Lord's Prayer, it begins to reorder, renew, and restructure our life and our desires and our priorities internally and externally too.
We're talking to Dr. Stephen Piech about his column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Fighting Acedia. I'm Todd Wilkin, your link to Issues, Etc. The Lutheran Witness magazine interprets the world from a Lutheran perspective. You can receive an annual digital and print subscription for less than $20. Find out more at lcms.org/witness or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, the Lutheran Witness magazine. We'll discuss the mutual conversation and consolation of the brothers and how it aids us against sloth next. Have you ever wondered why our beloved hymns were written? What influenced the writers to craft these words that proclaim the gospel? Learn more about the words you love to sing in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Eternal Anthems, The Story Behind Your Favorite Hymns. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Eternal Anthems, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, 1-800-325-3040.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Terry Mattingly is the eternal boomer. In other words, he, due to the circumstances of his birth, is lame.
Here's some feedback from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Terry can be counted on to deliver his boring, blasé take in his irritatingly pseudo-profound fashion. Anyway, lame. May God have mercy on Terry and Issues Etc. You're all a bunch of lame boomers.
The Issues Etc. comment line, available 24/7, 618-223-8382.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're getting some practical tips for fighting against sloth. Dr. Stephen Piech is our guest, lecturer in pastoral theology at Australian Lutheran College and author of a column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Fighting Acedia. Dr. Piech, what is the mutual conversation and consolation of the brothers and How does it aid us against sloth?
Yeah, well, that particular phrase, as many of your listeners will know, is a phrase from the Small Called Articles, where Luther talks about something that used to happen in his previous life as a monk in the monastery, where the brothers would confess their sins to each other, talk to each other, encourage each other, and pray for each other. But it's come to mean a lot in our own Lutheran tradition, and it's come to stand for all of those things I just mentioned, but also just the power of Christian fellowship. And if I can give you a practical example, here at ALC, with our on-campus community of students, once a week we have a care group meeting where you get into your care group with your assigned lecturer and you sit around somebody's kitchen table and you talk about your studies, your spiritual life, your life of service in the church, what you're struggling with, and people talk to each other and there's a kind of mutual conversation, people opening up to each other, and then there's consolation, people encouraging each other and helping each other. And of course, it ends with mutual prayer for one another. And I suppose this is a pretty good example of where very often students will say, oh, I'm really finding it hard to motivate myself to get my assignments done or things like that. And it's interesting, the older, more experienced students will say, okay, yeah, I understand that problem. And here are some things that are really important. More than once, as I've sat at those care group meetings for that mutual conversation and consolation, I've talked about Akadir and how to fight it and identified it. Interestingly, I also talk about it in my preaching class, because I find that it's when students sit down to try and study the Word of God that they have to fight Akadir, and they need that mutual conversation, encouragement and strength of the brothers and sisters who can say, we understand what you're going through, we're praying for you, and here's some encouragement and some advice. So it's quite important, I think, important for everybody to be able to talk about it and receive that consolation and conversation from others. It helps a lot.
During this season of Lent, you mentioned fasting. Can it prepare us to resist sloth as well? If so, how?
Yeah. This isn't something that is a big part of our Lutheran spiritual tradition, but it's certainly a very good way to deal with besetting sins and problems in our life. Because what happens is that we step back from something that we want. We step back from that cycle of desire and gratification that drives so much of our lives. So when we fast from food or from some other daily desire that is part of our lives, we step back so that God can move into that space and address our issue. The problem of sloth is really one in which we get we get tired and sick of things. We become People who suffer from akadir often say, I'm just so tired of everything. I'm tired of my work. I'm sick of doing this thing that's the same thing all the time. Or I'm sick of this community that God's called me to serve. Or it's just so, nothing ever happens. And it's like people have lost their palate, lost their taste for the life God's prepared for them. And they need to withhold some of the other pleasures in their life so that God can have a chance to move into that space and deal with the spiritual problem that's underlying there. So fasting and prayer, making use of that time that we aren't eating or we aren't reading our magazines or whatever it is we're fasting from, that's a moment where God can, if we can use that intentionally so that God can come in and renew our heart, renew our desire for his good things. And that's where true desire, godly desires start, where God renews and transforms us within. And sometimes putting a hold on something in your life so that God moves in to do that, has a chance to do that, is a very good thing. So fasting can play a role. there. And it's, of course, well attested again by the Christian tradition and by the monastic tradition of the early church.
How does Bible reading and Bible study help?
Yeah, well, of course, as we sit down and we read the Word of God, and I don't really, in my column in Lutheran Witness, I really was talking not just about doing, you know, short Bible devotions or short readings and short Bible studies, but reading Scripture in longer passages, more intentional Bible reading together with prayer. What happens as we do that is that the Word of God builds in us the kind of strength, spiritual conditioning that makes us, that enables us to be resistant to all kinds of sins and helps us to live inside God's Word and to make its categories and its frameworks our own categories and frameworks. And so it just builds us up, orients us to Christ and our dependence on Him, and takes us away from our own disordered desires towards God's good order and joyful living. So Scripture builds us up the same way against all other temptations as well, and it serves a really important role here in fighting against sloth. It builds those very virtues, if you like, that sloth wants to break down. And it's quite an important ingredient in fighting against all sin, sloth included.
You say you are what you read, so read what you are. What do you mean by that, Dr. Pish?
I guess it's just a little byline. What I really mean by it is that, and a moment ago I talked about the fact that as we live in Scripture, its framework and its categories begin to form us. We don't think as much in terms of the categories and framework of the world around us, which is all about pleasure, gratification, ambition, material goods, more material goods, and yet more material goods. Those categories have a chance to, well, they just begin to recede when Scripture's categories begin to form our inner world and form our thinking. So it's a way in which we're transformed by the renewing of our minds.
So finally here with just a couple minutes, why do we need to understand sloth as a spiritual problem for which God's Word provides spiritual solutions and moreover, forgiveness of sins?
Everything in life is spiritual. And one of the big problems that Christians have today in the post-Enlightenment world is that we think dualistically and we think that there are things that fall into the category of spiritual and things that are quite unspiritual, things that are just secular, things that are just ordinary or mundane, worldly. Well, everything in your life is spiritual. And this identifying sloth and akadia, the spiritual dimension of our sloth and our laziness and our resistance to God's good order and God's good works for us. Yeah, this is just part of reality. It's part of spiritual reality. And as with a lot of other things, until we see things spiritually, we, in a sense, don't see them at all. And we're just nibbling around the edges of that, whereas God's order, God's calling for us as we live in the body, in the world, with other people, is very important. And so I think this whole area of sloth and akadia is one of the areas of Christian spirituality, recognizing it and dealing with it, that is probably long overdue. Identifying it, talking about it is, I think, one of the very helpful things we can do for each other.
Dr. Stephen Pish is lecturer in pastoral theology at Australian Lutheran College. He's author of a column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Fighting Acedia. Dr. Pish, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
In hour two of Issues Etc., we'll look forward to Sunday morning according to the historic one-year lectionary discussing Jesus feeding the 5,000 in John chapter 6. Our guest will be Pastor David Peterson. a Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy. I'm Todd Wilken. Stay with us.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilken and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper every service every Sunday, preaching Christ crucified and risen, our hope for years to come, there is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri. Find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. The Southern Illinois District Advocates for Life invite you to join your brothers and sisters in Christ for a peaceful, life-affirming prayer vigil at the Planned Parenthood facility in Fairview Heights, Illinois, Saturday morning, March 26th. Pre-service music at 9:45 with the prayer vigil at 10 a.m. For more information, visit sidadvocatesforlife.com. That's sidadvocatesforlife.com.
Unshaken from Psalm 16:8 is the theme for the 44th academic year at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and encouraging spiritual growth. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the support page. Or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.